All right. I'd like to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. We just ask your blessing on this time together. Lord, we just ask you to fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to hear your words, Father. Again, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Let's just begin in verse 23. Kind of just want to use this morning. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things which you should have done without neglecting the other. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." I just want to stop right there. I just want to use that text there. I was talking to these scribes and Pharisees who were keeping the law, as it were, to the letter. And even in the law, he was telling them, "You've neglected the weightier matters that were even in the law of justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the things you should have done without neglecting the other." And here again, he's talking to these Pharisees who knew the law and were living under the law, that they were missing even then what he was talking about and how they should live. And how easy it is for us to get so caught up in what we think we're supposed to be doing, and we overlook the weightier matters. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about where Jesus said that the lawyer came up to him and asked the question, "What's the most important commandment?" And Jesus said, "To love your neighbor as yourself. To love God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And I just want to talk about that, and kind of getting into where Jason was talking about with young people, that how easy it is to be so religious and so caught up in our religion that we just forget about people around us. Not only in just doing a few good deeds for them, but we lack a lot of times the just general courtesies, the general respect that might be needed or due. We just get so caught up in ourselves that, and even religious. I mean, we talk about the world and people all selfish. You know, we talk about those selfish people out in the world. And yet, I think probably the most selfish people are religious people, without that awareness of other people. Sometimes we try to be so bold that we don't care whatever anybody else thinks. I'm just going to do what's right. And I've seen a lot of people that have that attitude, and they just completely disregard anybody else because they're going to be bold. They're going to be strong. They're going to maintain the law. And the heart of the reasoning is completely selfish. There's no real concern for what's right. And that's why Jesus talked about this. There's, you know, today we could say, you know, we keep all the teachings of Jesus. We follow the New Testament to the letter. But Jesus could say, but you've forgotten the weightier matters of the law. Mercy and justice. A lot of times I think the reason that we are not respectful. I mean, Tyler brought out about, well, they whenever the master, the king, sent his son, he said, they'll respect my son and pay what's due. And then they killed him. I think a lot of times we don't understand we say that we respect God, but we don't respect people right around us. I mean, there's verses in the Bible that talk about that. How can you say all these things about man and say that you love God? Because if you love God, you will love the man. How we relate to each other reflects on how we would actually relate to God. If we have no respect for others or for human beings, we have no respect for God. If we have no respect respect for people in authority, how can we respect God to be in authority over us? If we have no room for patience and mercy, the Bible tells us clearly that he who shows no mercy will receive none. We've talked about it before. I think, and I believe, that when we've actually tasted mercy, we know how to give mercy. I think the reason there's such a lack of mercy is because among fallen man, the only way they can know anything about mercy is whenever they've been shown it themselves. And so people that have never seen it or never tasted it don't know how to give it. A lot of times we see people and they're so ungrateful and unthankful. The Bible talks about that, ungrateful, unthankful, unholy, as being a part of the last generation. And you can just apply that to religion throughout, just right across the board. But a person who has actually experienced something and received something from the Lord and are thankful for it can be thankful and see that everything they receive is from the Lord. They can be thankful that the people God has put in their lives or have helped them along the way, they can be thankful to them. Not because they're thanking that person necessarily, but that they're thankful that God is able to use that person. That their true thanks is evident that they're thankful to God, and so they can show that to other people. We can pretend, we can make our children say thank you or please just as a superficial courtesy, but for someone to actually have experienced something to where they can truly be grateful to God. That is just evident in how gracious and grateful they are to other people. Someone who has actually experienced forgiveness from God, they know forgiveness. That translates into being forgiving, being merciful to other people. Someone who knows judgment, has judgment, has wisdom. It's because it's been imparted. They've recognized that in God. And that translates into something real. Our relationship with other people is a direct reflection of our relationship with God. You know, whenever the Bible tells us every man will be judged according to his deeds, God's going to be able to look at our lives and see our lives and the way we deal with each other and know just exactly where we are with Him. How we respect other people. You know, the Bible says in Peter, it talks about that the woman, it tells the woman to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. People just go nuts over that. That someone would actually submit to someone else to that extent. And I don't think it's just saying, well, if he tells you to go shoot somebody, go shoot them. It's not saying that. It's you're respecting that person just like it was the Lord. How you respect that person that's above you is how you would treat the Lord if He was here. Sometimes we get it all backwards. We think, oh, I better do this because this is how I would treat the Lord. Well, we missed it. That's just yourself trying to make yourself holy, religious. When there's that real respect for someone else, a willingness to honor that place. You know, we're so afraid of, oh, I'm just brainwashed and just do anything they say. And that's not what I'm talking about either. It's whenever there's a real respect that you can give to someone else and honor that person because they are in a place of authority above you. If you can't do that, then you cannot respect the Lord. You cannot honor the Lord. I think that's why the commandment to honor our father and mother, sometimes they may not be very honorable, but they're the people that God has put in your life. And if you can show no honor to someone who God has put in your life, I don't care what you do, you cannot honor God. Doesn't matter how religious you are. The Pharisees, well, they were going to just, instead of giving their money to their parents and taking care of their parents, they were going to give it to God and call it a gift. Jesus said, woe unto you that do that. It's about how we relate and work with each other. We all have our flaws. We all have our issues. And I don't think God's even worried about those when it comes to mercy and judgment, faithfulness. Those issues don't even weigh up. It's about like a little handful of dill seed. The that you're giving a tithe. It doesn't matter at all in reality. There's a verse in the Bible that Cain, I think it was Cain, asked about Abel, said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And I think that tells a lot. Even then, am I responsible to my brother or for my brother? It was showing then that he was so self-important that he wasn't even worried about his brother. It yells or screams very loudly to us that there is a responsibility that we have to our brother or sister, whatever the application is, that there is a responsibility for that. We're so self-involved that oftentimes when we hear something, oh, well, we're pretty quick to apply it to our brother instead of applying it to ourselves. That's where I think Jesus says so many times in the Bible, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." You know, oftentimes we can see what our brother ought to be doing for us. What somebody owes me. How they should act. It's pretty easy for us to do that. They shouldn't have said this. They shouldn't have said that. And then that just gives us a license to do whatever we want to do. But when God is speaking, He's not speaking to the other person when He's speaking to you. Quit worrying about what He might be saying to somebody else. Peter was talking to Jesus and he said, "Well, what about there, John, one of them? What about this man? What's it?" And Jesus said, "What is that to you? You do what I'm telling you to do. You have ears to hear what I'm telling you. And if they're just causing you all kinds of trouble, who cares? You do what you're supposed to do." I don't know how many times we've said this, but if everyone just does what they're supposed to do, everything will work wonderfully. But the only way that happens is when you do what you're supposed to do. We're so busy worrying about what everybody else is supposed to do. Do I respect and honor? Do I have mercy and patience and judgment? That's my responsibility. Not to worry about what everybody else is doing. We can look at the Pharisees, see how foolish they were, worried about seeds, when they should have been worried about mercy and judgment, when mercy and judgment is what we need to be worried about. Those weightier matters. Our level of how we apply and learn these things is the level we have our honor and our respect for God. Our level of mercy and forgiveness and patience are a direct reflection of what God will give to us, because it's a reflection of what we've got from God. We have a responsibility to our brothers. Sometimes we can just expect that that's the way I ought to be treated, but it isn't always the case. Presuming that everybody ought to treat me fair, and we get so caught up in how other people are treating me because they ought to know better. They ought to do this for me. They ought to. Instead of focusing on, am I being the person that is looking out for the other person? Am I the person that's looking out for my brother? You know, we might loan something to somebody and it comes back broken. We just think, oh boy, I'm going to send it back broken to them next time, or I'm going to borrow something. Send it back better than it was before. You do your part. And if they don't quite measure up, you still do your part. We complain and bellyache and gripe because somebody didn't do something just the way we thought they ought to. Well, why don't you do what you ought to be doing? And then you'll have an opportunity maybe to show some mercy and some patience. And really exercise something of value. And we get all tripped up of something over something that has no value. And then we're given a grand opportunity to exercise something that has great value. And we miss it. Because we're counting out little seeds. Instead of really looking at what is a greater value. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Told the story about how many times you read the verses about how the husband should love his wife, and then the wife should submit to her husband. And when they read the verse about the husband should love his wife, as Christ loved the church, the wife's elbowing her husband. And then they read the verse about the wife should submit to her husband. The husband's elbowing his wife. See, whenever we hear messages, sometimes we think, oh boy, he needs to be listening, set up here. You better be paying attention. Boy, I hope he heard that. Whew. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I hope he had ears. Well, you missed it. You missed it. God wants you to have ears, not eyes looking out for what you're neighbor hears. He wants you to have ears to hear. May the Lord add his blessings.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Lord, the name he calls the earth.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Stop!